Blog Talk Radio. Good evening, everyone. Good evening. Good evening. Good evening. Thank you for taking the time out to join us tonight in Blog Talk. We can be located on Blog Talk, on Facebook, on the web. Our phone number for Blog Talk is 310-861-2354. I am your host, Sylvia Kaiser, Minister Sylvia Kaiser for Iron Sharply Iron, one of the ministries of Smile 3E, which is presented to you at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time and 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I would like to say my co-host is Minister Brandon Kaiser. We are bringing this live ministry to you with, I hope you have the want, the desire, and the need to hear the word that's coming to you tonight by an awesome man of God who is already ready to bring forth the word, ready to give you the word, ready to tell you where to look for the word so you don't have to wonder, is it true? Do it say that? Did it say that? Or how was it put? You can look at every comma. You can look at every period. You can look at every capital letter and see it for yourself. So before we go into the introduction of the man of God that will be speaking on tonight, let's take this time out to pray and go before God. God, we thank you for this night, God. We thank you for another opportunity to come to you to say, God, we see the times. We see the signs. We see what's going on, God. And then we see the fact that we need to know that we need to come to you with an open heart and a clean heart to say, God, forgive me of every sin. God, forgive me for not living saved, wanting to live saved or being saved. God, I'm asking you to put in my heart to give me the desire to be more like you, God, to say, God, let me decrease that you may increase. God, we're asking you again, God, hear our hearts, hear our voice, hear what's coming across our tongue or through our teeth to say, Lord, forgive me for every sin willingly, unwillingly, knowingly, and publicly just saying, I don't care, I'm going to do it anyway. God, we're asking you to change our hearts. God, we're asking you to just cover our president, cover America in this time, God. Cover every area that's experiencing these difficulties with weather, whether it's tornadoes or hurricanes or fire or just the uprising of the ludicrous acts of the people that's in the land right now, God. We know that your prayer will change any and everything. God, give us the heart and the mind and give us the will to want to ask people to pray with us for forgiveness of the land. God, before I go any further and before I take anything from it, God, I'll add more to it. But I'm going to end this right now with saying, oh, amen, and I believe God is going to do it, and I believe that the pastor is going to speak more on prayer. So for the night to begin and before this hour ends, I want you all to take time out, get your Bibles ready. I'm talking so y'all can get your Bibles so the man of God could tell you where to turn. But I will present to most, introduce to others, and remind a whole lot of y'all. On tonight, we got that sock man, that suit man, matching tie, hanky shirt man, servant pastor, Troy Thomas. Pastor Thomas, are you on the line tonight?
Yes, I am. I'm on the line tonight.
Okay, well, it's all in your hands. Have your way on tonight. Are you Facebook Live before I go?
I am not Facebook Live, not tonight, no.
Okay. Well, I can shut my Facebook down so I can hear every word. All right.
All right. God bless everybody on here tonight. I do count it an honor and a privilege once again to be able to speak to the men and women of God, to encourage them on what God has given me concerning our well-being and our ability to come out and to be free and to make ourselves available for the master's use. I'll be a little brief tonight, a little under the weather. You know, Chicago's hot in the morning and cold in the evening, and sometimes we do a lot of running and just a little under the weather tonight. We're going to go to Mark, the fifth chapter. I thank God for Apostle-elect Cecilia Kaiser, my cousin, and Minister Renee Kaiser, Sylvia Kaiser, and all those, and to our apostle, Sandra Thomas, my mom, and to all the men and women of God that are on here, God bless you. And I give you honor where honor is due. You know, I like to start with a little song. It's a song that I heard Saturday that I hadn't heard in a long time that we used to sing over at No Cross, No Crown and at the Fountain of Living Waters. And I was surprised to hear a young man singing. He said, "Pastor Troy, you taught me this song a long time ago." And I was surprised. I hadn't heard it yet. It just says this: "I'll sing praises to your name, oh Lord, praises to your name, oh Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. For your name is great and greatly to be praised. I'll sing praises to your name, oh Lord, praises to your name, oh Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. Yes, oh Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. I'll say it one more time. I'll sing praises to your name, oh Lord, praises to your name, oh Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. Oh, yes, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. For I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything. And we say one more time, Lord, I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything. For I love you. I love you. I love you, Lord, today. Because you care for me in such a special way. And yes, I praise you. I lift you up and I magnify your name. Oh, that's why my heart will give you praise. And my heart, my mind, yes, my soul belongs to you. Oh, you paid the price for me way back on Calvary. And yes, I praise you. Lord, I lift you up and I magnify your name. Oh, that's why my heart is filled with praise. Yes. For I'll sing praises to your name. Oh, Lord, praises to your name. Oh, Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised." Amen. I thank God for Jesus. I thank God for being saved. I thank God for him being a deliverer in my life. I thank God that I allow him to come into my heart. Because one day I couldn't honestly say that I let him come into my heart. He came into my mouth. I walked into the building, but I didn't allow him into my heart. But I thank God that I've allowed him into my heart, because it's made such a difference in my life to allow God into my heart for the purpose of how can he say, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If we don't love what we do, we find it tasking. If we don't love who we with, we find it tasking. So we don't love where we go, we found it tasking. And when it's tasking, it's not enjoyable. But when you love somebody, it's a joy for you to love on them and to show them love and to support them. When you love what you're doing, you don't mind getting up and going and doing it. When you love where you're going, you don't mind getting up and going where you're going and doing what you do. So I thank God that I had a mind and a heart to want to let him into my heart, into my life for real this time, y'all. For real this time. Mark, the fifth chapter. We're going to start the first verse to maybe the 16th verse. Excuse my voice. It's been a little under the weather. But I know God is a healer, and what's going on won't consume me. If you hear me smacking, because I done put a pause in my mouth, so my voice will be a little clearer. Excuse me. We're going. Tonight, we had a chance to minister yesterday, and I was hoping that my brother, he's in town, Prophet Antoine Thomas, would come through the door of the Fountain of Living Water yesterday morning, but he came at toward the end of the service. So God began to move. We began to talk. We began to sing a song of Fred Hammond and putting down a stronghold. Sickness and poverty must cease, or the devil is defeated. We are blessed. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. We're blessed when we come and when we go. We cast down every stronghold. Sickness and poverty must cease, for the devil is defeated. And we are blessed, because we understand that late in the midnight hour, God's going to turn it around. It's going to work in our favor. Amen. So we begin to sing that song. We begin to talk about this pulling down of strongholds and how God won't let us let that portion of the song go, that we're going to the pulling down of strongholds in our life, the pulling down of letting the things go that we have allowed to bog us down in life, that we have chosen but not to be free, that we didn't want to be free about. But we thank God for his salvation. We thank God for his freedom. We thank God that he has put us in a place that we can receive freedom. And so that we can receive freedom, because freedom is necessary for what we need to happen, what we need to go on. And if we don't receive freedom, we're going to be constantly in a place of bondage. In this particular chapter and verse we're going to read, it says, and it came over, the first verse it says this, and it came over, and they came over to the other side of the sea, unto the country of the Gadareans. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man and when he had come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling amongst the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always night and day in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus far off, he ran and worshiped him. Remember that, the sixth verse. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. He cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee, my God, that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there now unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all of the devils besought him, saying, "Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them." And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place unto the sea. There they were about 2,000, and they were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled, and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legions sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And when they saw it, and they that saw it told him to how it befell to him that he was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him depart out of their coast. I'll stop right there. Let's talk about I got to be free. I know that's improper grammar, by the way things go. That's improper grammar. We got to be free. If my father was around, he would say, "That's not how you're supposed to put that. Put that in the right perspective. I must be free." Well, I got to be free. I must be free. I will be free. Whatever terminology you want to use, as long as you get the message of that freedom is what is necessary. So here it is. This man was in the tombs and in the mountains. And come on now, we all know that anybody that's hanging out in graveyards on a regular basis, we believe they got some serious issues. Now, even though there are dead people, in the graveyards and they can't get up, but who wants to dwell around dead people? Most people that are alive want to dwell amongst the living and not amongst the dead, because amongst the dead, there is no camaraderie. There is no brother, no sisterhood, no friendship, no family. You just sitting there. You can't talk to them. They can't talk to you back. So what's the purpose? You can't hug them. You can't kiss them. You can't do anything because they are not there. Their clay body may be in the ground, but physically and spiritually and mentally, they are not there. So here it is. This man is walking around and he's, you know, got a man problem. But the thing is, so then what's funny is this is my favorite part. And I told you to remember the sixth verse when it says, "But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him." That's funny. Now, this man is supposed to be out of his mind. He's not supposed to have his right frame of mind. But yet and still, he had enough. The demons that were in him that's called legions had enough in them to say, "That's Jesus." And they fell down and worshiped him. That's Jesus. They begin to worship him. And so what's funny is even through the situations going on in his life, even through all this that he's been bogged down with, he recognized who Jesus is. And here it is, we as saints of God, or we as people that say that we know God in the Christian lifestyle, don't even recognize who God is. Don't recognize who Jesus is. Well, how do you say that, Pastor Troy? I mean, for instance, we talk about our sicknesses. We talk about our ailments. We talk about all these things that is negative in our life, but yet we say we serve the Savior that can save, deliver, and heal. But we talk to the negative, nothing positive. We talk about all the things that is going wrong, but we don't talk about the solutions and abilities to get from these things to get to a better place. But we love him, but we serve him. Here it is, let's stay where we are naturally. How is it I can say I love a man or I love a woman, but all I have to say about them is negativity? Bible says, how can two walk together except they agree? So if you, all you can say is negative about him, then maybe all you can say is negative about you. So if our whole relationship is big, is built off negativity, why are we wasting each other's time? If all you have is foolishness around you, if you don't have God's filters on your eyes and your ears to hear what's necessary, then there lies an issue. But the demons recognize who Jesus is. Why is it that, once again, we as people of God cannot recognize who Jesus is? And it was so funny. They cried out to him, like, look, hold on, Jesus. What, we ain't did nothing to you. I may paraphrase the seventh verse. And they said, you know, what do we have to do with you? Thy son of the Most High God. Once again, they recognize not only who he is, but who he belonged to. Not only but who Jesus is, but who he belonged to. He belonged to the God that created the heaven and the earth, that created man, that created everything that has to do with this, the earth that we live in, but yet and still we as people that say, once again, that we love him, that we serve him, we don't recognize him within any situation in our life. The only time we recognize him is when we've been blessed. We don't recognize when we go through. You know what I'm saying? Somebody says that nobody told us that the work, that this road was going to be easy, but I don't believe he brought me this far to leave you. The Bible says that man is born of a woman, is born of a few days, and is full of trouble. So you're guaranteed to have some trouble. It's just that we now have a Savior that can help us in the time of the trouble. But we won't recognize it only on occasion. Well, let's go back to the topic at hand. The topic at hand is I got to be free. So here it is. This the demons recognize, look, we got to come out this man because the power is around us. One thing that talks about that the Holy Ghost and the God won't dwell in an unclean temple. So as long as our temple is unclean, we have space for the devil. But when we get to God for him to clean us out, then guess what? He's going to dwell with us. But as long as we have a mouthful of excuses about I've been hurt, I've been devastated, I've been cheated on, I've been misused, I've been abused, I've been this, I've been that, I've been this, this happened, Big Mom did this, my brother, my husband, my wife, my cousin, the doctor, my uncle, my cousin, you know, these things are going on in our life that my job, my supervisor didn't recognize me, and my feelings are so hurt about this and hurt about that. First of all, I had a situation on yesterday, and I began to talk to the person about it. I said, first of all, the main thing we have to do, first of all, is repent. In repenting, not only are you giving, are you saying I'm sorry for what I'm doing, but you're giving homage to us. Okay, that was some wrongdoing. You're taking an accountability for what you did wrong, how you should have done it. Now I take accountability, I take responsibility, and then therefore I want to move from this place so I will not be caught here for the rest of the time that I am alive. I understand. But Pastor Troy, you don't understand what happened to me. You're probably right. I don't understand because I maybe have never been put in that situation before, and everybody's different. Some people have strength in areas that some don't. I may be stronger to the left, and you may be stronger to the right. You may be stronger to the up, and I may be stronger to the down. Either way it goes, the fact of the matter is it don't matter where our strength lies and where our weakness lies. We're saying we serve a God that can do anything. But the Bible says we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. The key phrase is through Christ, which means we're so busy trying to do things ourselves, but we keep failing because in this flesh dwell no good thing. But we're trying to do it ourselves, and we say we serve God, but we keep exiting him out of the equation. We keep asking God out the equation because it's like I said this many times. I hate when people say this. When I get myself together, I'm going to come to church. Well, if you had the power to get yourself together, then you wouldn't need you. But let me tell you something that's funny. What's funny is we talked about this yesterday at church, that in the world, they recognize when they have issues. You don't believe me? Why do they have Alcoholics Anonymous? Why do they have these rehabs? And some of these people don't know nothing about God, but they realize there are some things in their life that's not conducive for them to live a positive or prosperous life. So they say, I got to get some help, because if I don't get no help, I'm going to die. I'm going to die. So then what they do is they find a rehabilitation center to get to, and guess what? And those that really want to be free, they follow the necessary rules and regulations and steps they need to do so they can be free from whatever is keeping them from being positive, from being prosperous, for having a more prosperous life. They follow the steps. If they say, you got to be here every day for the first 2 weeks at 5 o'clock faithfully. Follow this regimen. Follow this program. You have to live in this facility so then we can help you detox. You have to stop hanging around some friends that you know do the same thing that you do, because guess what? Maybe they're not. They don't feel the need to be free from that. So because they don't feel the need to be free from it, they're going to continue to do it because they cool with it. They cool with it, and maybe you're not cool with it anymore. So you have to change your surroundings. That's how you can be free. The Bible said we have not because we ask not. Not only do we have to repent, we have to ask God, and sometimes it's specific. Lord, I'm a liar. I like to lie. Sometimes I lie for no reason. I've been there a few times myself, just lie. For no reason. It's the things that we have to be honest with ourselves about. We want everybody else to be honest with us, but we won't even be honest with ourselves. We lie to ourselves. We deceive ourselves. So because we deceive ourselves, then we want everybody to live in the deception where we live. And that ain't cool. How can we be free? You say, well, no, that's not me. Some things we don't have the power. We don't have the power to do ourselves. So we have to, that's why the Bible tells us to seek out wise counsel. Seek out wise counsel, because wise counsel is necessary, because some things we just don't know. We just don't know certain things. And we're going to walk around as if we have it all together. We're going to walk around as if, you know, this, that, and the third, and woo-woo-woo, and da-da-da. And the fact of the matter is, how can we be free? Another way we can be free is, 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, which means you have to study the word of God. That's your strength. It's going to help you be free. John 8:32 says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You cannot continue to lie to yourself or convince yourself that you don't need help when everything around you says, I need help. That's where your freedom's going to come in at, when you get the help that you need on a consistent basis. You know, sometimes we do this thing, you say, well, you know what, I'm going to work out. I need to lose some weight. I'm going to work out. So we work out with that a whole 2 times. We go twice. I went the first time, you get the, man, I hit the weights. I'm going to be a little sore. I'm going to go back. But the second day, he kept saying, okay, I'm going to go next month. It's something after that Monday. I'm going to win. It's something after win. Okay, I'm going to go Thursday. I'm tired. I've been running all week long. Then, for you know it, 2 or 3 weeks, 3, 4 months, 2 or 3 years, I went back. And, no, now your health ain't right. Because we didn't push past this perimeter that we put ourselves in. So now we stuck there. Well, how do we get free? All right, then. I don't feel like going to the gym. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do about 15 push-ups right now. I'm going to get on this floor at my house. I'm going to do about 15 sit-ups right now. I'm going to do about 25 jumping jacks right here in my floor, because I got to be consistent so that I can be healthy, so that my body can be right. That's naturally. Then spiritually, what can I do? All right, then here. Okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to write the notes down that pastor, I'm going to write what pastor preached that on Sunday. I'm writing down where the scripture came from. What was the topic? Some of the key points he's made. So then Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, I'm gonna reread it so I can get down in my spirit, so I can learn to apply it to my life even that much more. So it can become a habitual habit in my life, so that I can feed and be nourished on the word that was given on Sunday. I'm gonna do that until it's time for Bible study. I'm gonna get my butt up. I'm gonna go to Bible study. Well, Bible study is where I get off work. Maybe I'll guess what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna go. Rap for you women. I'm gonna grab my kids. We're gonna stop at McDonald's or something. We're gonna stop at Wendy's. Give them a 4 for 4. Split this 4 for 4 up between y'all until we get out of church. We're gonna go to Bible study. Because if I can get the word in my heart, in my mind, then I can spread it to my children so they can be better people. They can be better individuals. because thy word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against you. You dig what I'm saying? So these are tools that we can use to be free if we really want to be free. We can't sit back talking about, I'm going to be free one day. This not the civil rights, you know what I'm saying? We shall overcome one day. When that day going to come? Because there's been a lot of one day. But this man in the tomb, when the demons recognize this is Jesus, we can't play with him. He ain't no punk. We can't play with him because he has the real power. So then, therefore, we have to get around people that got power. We got to get around people that can help push us out of some things, help nurture us out of some things so that we can obtain the maximum abilities that are given to us by all means necessary. This is what's necessary. Freedom is not going to be easy. Freedom is not going to, they're just not going to say, okay, you can be free. But let me tell you something else. Once you get free from one thing, you talk about legions. Legions means many, mean a whole lot, right? So now out of 10, we got more than one demon. We got more than one issue. It's just some issues are bigger than others. But it's just like this. When you get free from one thing, it's going to show you the other thing that you need to get free from. Okay, then, I was a cheater. So I stopped cheating. No, hold on. I was a cheater. So I got free from lying. So lying stopped me from cheating. Cheating stopped me from backbiting. Cheating stopped me from spending money. Cheating, and then boom, boom, it's a trickle-down effect. It shows you every little step that you can be free from until every aspect that's connected to that issue you're free from. It's like a motor. There are different components to a motor to make it run. When you have issues in your life, there are different components. Well, you know, I was hurt as a child. I felt like my parents didn't do this, thus, and so. So then that caused me to get with people, a person, place, a people, a person. I went some places, did some things because I felt this a need that I needed. But did I really need this? No. I convinced myself I needed. My parents provided for me the best way they could, but it wasn't enough for me. Because you know why? Because my friends had this. So my friends have why I can't have it. Instead of being appreciative of what you have, then you convince yourself you had to have that same thing. So then you convince yourself, I'm going to do whatever it is. So I'm going to stay in an abusive relationship because he got money. I'm going to stay in an abusive relationship and let her talk to me any kind of way because you know why? Because she take real good care of me. Not knowing that if you give these issues to God, God will set you up with a person that will give you what you desire, what you need according to his plan. See, the thing is, they always talk about he that found a wife, found a good thing to pay favor with the Lord. You are absolutely right. But women are not wives these days. They baby mamas, they girlfriends, they side pieces, they dips. But they have not set themselves up to be a wife. You don't believe me? Check this out. There's a man, his name is Pastor Solomon Davis. Him and his wife been married 57 years. He said, Pastor Troy, he said in the congregation, he said, when I met Sister Davis, she was already a wife. So since she was already a wife, when she became my wife, it was an easy transition. And then I got the man's name, his name is, he's in Texas, she's kind of chubby, bald head, dude, I think his name. He said the same thing. He said, my wife was already a wife because she was trained to be a wife. She was doing what was necessary to become a wife. So that when I met her, all she did was became my wife. He said, but I had to already be a husband. He said, what it is we're still stuck in fiance, girlfriend mode, fiance mode, baby mama mode. But we never transition into the wife. He said, that's why the marriages don't work. That's why things don't work out because you still in baby mama. You still in fiance. You still in girlfriend. But you have not yielded yourself to become a wife that God has made you to be. He said, even with the husband, you baby daddy, you fiance, you boyfriend. But you have not transitioned into being a husband. A husband protects. A husband provides. A husband leads. A husband cherishes. He honors. The same thing with a wife. A wife protects. A wife loves. A wife nurtures. She makes his house a home. She makes peace. They make love. But you're unable to do these things because you're still stuck in a place that you shouldn't be no more. So we still stuck in some places that we shouldn't be no more. But the Bible says when I was a child, I spake as one. But when I became a man, I put away those childish things. So guess what? What I wanted at 15, I didn't want at 25. I didn't want at 35. And when I want at 35, I sure ain't, when I be 45, it's going to change. As we get older, our needs and desires change because we mature. What we saw back then, we don't see that like that no more. We see in a different perspective the necessity of things. Things that may have been serious to us back then are no longer serious no more. But in order for us to get these things, we have to be free. And until we get free, we're going to be stuck in the same rut over and over and over and over again. We got to pull down those strongholds. The Bible says sometimes these things come only out by fasting and praying. We don't want to fast no more. We don't want to pray no more. I got to take my medicine. But get off your phone. Fast from your phone. Fast from social media. How about close your mouth and don't talk to nobody? You know what I'm saying? I fasted a couple weeks, week before last, when people call me, I stopped praying. When I stopped praying, the devil's obviously is I didn't get no phone calls. My phone wasn't ringing. You got to do something different. We truly have to do something different. This man, what's funny is that when Jesus cast the legions of spirits out of this man, they say, look, okay, wait, we don't want to die. You don't do nothing to us. Cast us into the swine. When he cast them into the swine, they still kill themselves. The swine, they die. Why you saying that? Why you saying that, Pastor? Because God wants to kill the spirits that have been controlling your life, your entire life, thus far. He want to kill those habits that we just can't break. But we make excuses for our habits. Well, I don't do it all the time. I do it sometimes. Well, I didn't do it last week. I did it before last. We make excuses and reasons. But guess what? God is going to pull. He'll pull down and destroy those strongholds of excuses of see what happened in your reason. The Bible says he will never put more on you than you can bear. But we put more stuff on ourselves than God would ever do. That's why we don't have the ability to hold on or to deal with things, because these are self-inflicted wounds. These are self-inflicted wounds. You chose to stay there. You chose to do this. You chose to go there. You chose to stay there with no real vision to be free. You didn't see no freedom in sight. You just dealt with it. And so then now there's some things on the inside that everything looks more negative to you than they look positive. Because you know why? Because your hurts are still there. You haven't been healed. You haven't been made whole. But I hear God said, I want to heal you. I want to make you whole. Would you allow me to come in and heal you? When at the side of the pool of Bethesda, he asked them. He didn't make them. He asked. He said, will thou be made whole? Then guess what he did? What we do? He gave them an excuse. He said, well, so look, Jesus, when the water is troubled, when the angel comes, I ain't got nobody to push me in. I feel like, if I was you, I'd be like, man, I ain't asked you all that. I want to know, do you want it or not? Because if you want it, I got it for you. God said, if you want it, I got it for you. Because who the Son sets free is free indeed. Once you get free, you can stay free. How do you stay free, Pastor Troy? You stay free by obedience. You stay free by changing your surroundings. You stay free by filling your heart and your soul with his word, with his praises. You don't believe me? In Acts the 16th chapter, 25th verse, it talks about how Paul and Silas was locked in the jail. You can't be no more bound than that. They was in chains. Sitting in a dungeon in the jail because they went out to help somebody else get free. So now they locked up themselves. They said, well, while we down here, we can't get out. How about we just praise God? So they begin to sing praises. They begin to pray and sing praises unto God until the very foundation of the jail began to shake. The chains was broke off of them. The doors began to open. And the end result was that the people in the jail gave their heart to God. Because they was determined, I don't care how bogged down I may be, I'm going to praise God even in the midst of it. Because I want to be free. And they were freed. So even while you're bound, what's going on in the process of it, still praise God. You say, well, how did I get bound? Well, let's see. In Genesis, the third chapter, it talks about the serpent. It talks about Adam. It talks about Eve. It talks about them eating the fruit that they were forbidden to eat. You know why? The reason why Eve was so easily tricked by the serpent was because there was some space in there. The Bible talks about leaving no space for the devil. Because if you got a little space, he'll slither some way in to talk to you. And so did Adam. They have some space in there. So you have to ask God to fill the voids in your life with his love, with his word, with his praises. So there is no room for Satan to come in to trick you. Back in the day, I used to do some crazy stuff. I heard women say, you can't trick me. You can't seduce me. A lie. That was a lie. Another woman taught me how to use what a woman would say to you to seduce her with her own words, trick her with her own words. But there had to be some space in there for me to seduce them. It had to be some space in there for me to trick them, to seduce them. So there is no space. There's no room for nothing to come in. So that means we must stay prayed up. The Bible says, watch. He told the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, you have to watch as well as pray. We have to watch for the devil, watch our surroundings. And while we're watching, we're praying at the same time so we won't fall into Satan's tricks and traps. This is necessary so that we can be free. All right. I love you guys. I appreciate you. I'm done talking because my voice is about gone. Mr. Renee, you go ahead.
Thank you, Pastor Troy, for that sermon on tonight. You started off with saying, I said for real this time. So I thank you for Mark 1, 5, chapter 1 through 17. That was really a blessed word on tonight. And again, he said to remember verse 6, but when they saw him, they ran and worshiped him. Not they. I'm saying they as in myself and whatever spirits that's dwelling in there that I'm not aware of, they're going to run and worship him. So for those of us that need to repent, get you and the rest of them that's up in there and recognize Jesus so you can run over to him and worship him and ask him to forgive you for everything and anything. The man of God said on tonight for us to also just take it to God, not just honestly and openly, but put a name on it. You know, like you put names on everything else, put a name on it. God, I'm a liar. God, I'm a thief. God, I'm a cheater. God, whatever it is you're doing, take it to God for real and ask him to deal with your situation. So, Brandon, I'm going to ask you to open the line so that anyone that can get through, they want to speak to encourage the man. And for those that caught a hard time calling in on tonight and the blog talk was saying that it was no lesson, no service, no nothing tonight. That's not true. As you can see, we're on the line. So are the lines open, Brandon? Minister Brandon, are
the lines
open?
The lines are open. They're
Thank
open.
Thank you, Apostle Lynn. Thank you so much. So the lines are open. Please open up your take your mute off so you can speak into the man of God's life on tonight.
Good evening, everyone. Good evening. This is Sheila Kaiser. I want to thank Pastor Troy for the words. They were mighty powerful. And I know it hit a lot of spots out here. I just want to say thank you, and may God continue to bless you on the word that you teach to us.
Thank you,
Cecilia, I just want to say Thank you for reminding us and challenging us to go to God. A lot of times we forget that not only is he the potter and we're the clay, but when he's fixed one marred place, we have to be willing and transparent enough to know that he's got to fix more and more because he's perfecting us. And it's just like when you're taking a test to become whatever you need to become, they test you, and then you pass that test, and they test you, and you pass the next test. And I am so grateful that God is so patient with me that every time I bring him something, he shows me where in his word I can find the very verses. When I need peace, and I need peace that surpasses all understanding, is in his word. When I need joy, and I need joy unspeakable, is in his word. And I just thank him for whatever I need is in his word. And I love that he reminds me to pray his word, because there's power in his word. That's all
Amen.
I have.
Amen. Thank you, Apostle Elect, for your words. And thank you, Sister Sheila, for your word. Is there anyone else that would like to speak into the man of God's life on tonight? Okay.
I think it's some technical difficulties because some of us are, like you were saying, we're able to call in, and others were blocked or something because I don't know.
Yes, because Dr. Serena Wright texted and was wondering what happened. She couldn't get in on the line. And for those that couldn't get in, I hope you did get a chance to get in on the end. We're sorry for the technical difficulties, but we know the enemy of our soul is going to always try to keep you from hearing the word. That's why we have archives that you all can inquire about and go back and hear it again later. So,
and I want to say something that might, sound a little off, but I just think I should say it. God is an on-time God, and we need to learn how to be on time. Because some of us
Amen.
Got through because we called in on time.
Amen. 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 So I'm going to say to that again, amen. So, Pastor Thomas. Servant Troy, is there any cheats, free plugs you would like to put in tonight?
Not at the moment.
Okay, well, the lines are open again. Is there something
except those are on here, you can meet us 8:30 a.m. at 4244 West Madison. I guarantee you that you'll be blessed. I guarantee you a word of God and a move of God. And any Sunday morning at 8:30 a.m., we are at 4244 West Madison. We're holding our service at the New Macedonia Missionary Baptist Church. All right? Love you guys.
Yes, and Pastor, I want to talk to you about that. I came to the service, and I was truly blessed. And, Pastor, you prayed with me afterwards. And the next Sunday came around for me to come back, and I had to call Apostle Elect and ask her to pray for me because I don't know what I touched, but my eyes or what touched me had swollen shut like I had ate something or something. I had an allergic reaction. So I will be back to the service. For those that haven't been by, I'll let you know. It was an awesome service, and I truly enjoyed myself. So I just want to let you all know that this ministry is open every Monday night. It's open on Friday nights, and it's also open on Sunday morning. So if you can, tune in, please. And remember, like the woman of God say, Apostle Alexis Cecilia Kaiser, call in on time. Give us some time to put the word in your ear, in your heart, that you may understand that this is the day and time that God is calling you. He's knocking on the hearts. He's knocking on the doors. He's knocking on your mind. He's knocking even on your desire to be holy, desire to be saved. And, Pastor, I want to ask you to pray for us before we end the program tonight.
Father, we thank you. We glorify you for all things. We thank you that you are the God of our salvation. We thank you because you came to us and said that we have the ability to be free. Father, now that we have the ability to be free, God, let us not be afraid to be free because us being free would cause us to be in a place that we've never been in before. And, Father, for you have told us that you have not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and of a sound mind. And, Father, we stand on your word. But, Father, you said, who the Son sets free is free indeed. And you said that we shall know the truth, and the truth shall make us free. And, Father, Father, we want to be free from the things that have been calling us to be bound, has called us to live in an impoverished place. Father, when the man wrote the song, he says, pull down the strongholds, and sickness and poverty must cease. Because the devil is defeated. And the way we can be blessed, truly blessed, is by us being free.
Yes.
And Father, we thank you and we glorify you for your power that set us free, the power that heals us, the power that makes us whole, the power that changes our thoughts, our conversations, where we walk, who we hang with, when and how we contemplate things. Father, it's time for us to think on these things. Whatsoever things that are true, whatsoever things that are lovely, whatsoever things that are of good report. And Father, we ask you to put your love down on the inside of us so that we're able to love your people and love ourselves. But you told us you told us in your word that we must love our neighbor as we love ourselves, so that we can show forth real love, so we can be found in the right place at the right time doing your will. And Father, we praise you. And Father, we ask you for those that are on here and for those that try to get on here that could not get on here for whatever purpose. Father, we ask you to bless them.
Yes, Lord.
Free them from themselves. Free their mentality. Free their conversation. Free their will. So they can know who you are and how you handle things. And Father, we praise you and we glorify you. And before we take it back, we'll add more to it. And it is so, and so it is, in Jesus' name. Amen.
In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to remind everyone to still please keep Apostle Sandra Thomas in your prayers. Keep Apostle Elect Cecilia Kaiser in your prayers. Keep Minister Brandon Kaiser in your prayers. Keep Dr. Serena Wright in your prayers. Keep Pastor Troy Thomas in your prayers. Keep Prophet Antoine Thomas in your prayers. Keep Elder Kathy Kendall in your prayers. And just keep all saints in the body of Christ in your prayers. Because in this day and time, we are going to be needed like never before. The people are looking for honest people to give them an honest word about an honest God. So don't forget, next Monday, we're going to be here from 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 9 p.m. Eastern, I'm sorry, 8 p.m. Central Standard Time and 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We'll also be here on Friday with Elder Kathy Kendall with God Still Heals from 9 p.m. Central Standard Time and 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We will also be here Sunday morning at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time with Apostle-elect Cecilia Kaiser and Minister Brandon Kaiser with Let's Talk. And don't forget, our foundational scripture is, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That is Matthew 6:33. Do not forget that. And don't forget the lesson on the night was Mark 1:5. Verses 1 through 17. And the man of God said, he said to God, our Lord and Savior, for real this time. Okay, good night, everybody, and be blessed. And I love you with the love of the Lord, and there's nothing you can do about it.